Welcome to the Debbie Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Network. I'm your host, Skip Newton, and joining me are my co-hosts, Dwight Peebles and Matt Cooper. Gentlemen, my draft party is starting to take shape for next Thursday. We are finally a week away. The excitement is building. Really looking forward to it. Dwight, do you do anything special or do you have anything special planned for this year's opening round one draft day?
I wish I had something, but I really don't. I'm able to. It's one of those rare nights where I actually can sit down and just watch things. And I kind of like watching, Twitter and some people I like to say that I like, I like to see people's reaction. And I tune into a couple of the draft shows. There's all sorts of live streams going on. So sometimes I'll bounce around between those just to hear what other people are saying. And I'm on one of them later at night, maybe another one. I don't even know. But other than that, nothing crazy special. I might make something yummy in the grill or smoker, but nothing crazy. Most of my friends don't like football, so.
Wow. Yeah, I'll be weirdos. I'll be doing a big pork butt on the big green egg. So getting up early to get that started. It's about a 12-hour process. So, Matt, how about you? Anything going on? Hopefully,
Skip,
some fun.
You'll
stuff
have to draft? Party for the three of us because. Well, so I work in campus ministry when I'm not doing this fantasy football stuff on the side, and we have a large group worship meeting every Thursday night for our college ministry, and the last Thursday of April is always the last Thursday of the semester for college students, which also happens to be the draft every year, and so it's just like a work thing that I can't get out of every single year, so I'm never able to be at home watching the first round, which is a bummer, but I promise you I'll be sitting in the back keeping track of it on my phone. So,
all right. Maybe I'll ping you a couple times just to make sure you're keeping up with current events. Sounds good, gentlemen. Today we are going to talk about rookies, but we're going to do it from a Devy perspective. So really getting into who we were right all along about, where did we miss, and talk about the prospects that have risen and fallen since we first fell in love with them or first started scouting them way back when they were freshmen in college. But first, I want to talk about the ridiculous value of being a Rookie Big Board patron. In March, patrons received Volume 1 of the 2023 Rookie Guide. The 2023 seasonal projections are also out now, and we have released a brand new Biggest Board, which allows you to compare the value of 2023 rookies directly with Devy and Dynasty players, and the Rookie Big Board is being updated almost daily. You can become a yearly patron for 15% off now. That is just $30 a year, which is cheaper than what you would pay for a space heater in your office/podcast recording room because you live in Minnesota, where in 1 week it's the upper 80s and the next week it's down in the 30s. Welcome to my little thin slice of heaven here. And your sports teams all fail to win the big one. Thank you very much, Gopher Hockey. I avoided it last week, but I'll come clean this week. That was very disappointing. Moving on. If you want to win a fantasy football championship this year and next year, you need the ridiculously valuable resources offered by the Rookie Big Board team at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. All right, rookies, that's what we're getting into because it's fun, it's draft season, and we've been waiting a long time for this. Let's just talk about a few guys. We'll kick off with running backs that have moved up, certainly from their original days in college, but really have started to catching fire even since the end of the season last year. Roschon Johnson at Texas, and we'll just talk about him first. Roschon Johnson, Texas, of course, backup, second fiddle to Bijan, but he's gaining steam. We'll start with you, Matt. How much do you like Roschon, and where do you have him ranked in your Devy or in your rookie running back rankings?
Yeah, so I'm kind of in the middle on Roschon. Like, I don't love him and I don't hate him. But he's a guy that I don't think, from a Devy perspective, I ever saw him taken in a Devy draft. We never really considered him a Devy asset. And now all of a sudden through the pre-draft process, and it really started at the Senior Bowl, there started to be this buzz that he might be a second round draft pick, and he's got the ideal size and he's got some pretty good speed and he's one of the best pass protectors in the class. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, we need to start taking this guy seriously. If he wasn't Bijan's backup, he might have been starting at hundreds of other schools and racking up big numbers and might have been somebody that we would have been on top of all along. But to me, he lacks a little bit of juice and elusiveness, but he's really well-rounded. He's got good power, good size, good speed for that size. He's got good, reliable hands, good in pass protection. NFL teams seem to like him. It seems like he's more likely to be day two than even some of these guys that have been highly thought of Devy running backs for years, which we'll talk more about that in a minute. But all that to say, right now he's my RB10 in this rookie class. He kind of reminds me of like Brian Robinson from last year, like pretty good at everything, but not great at anything and doesn't really have the juice to where people are ever going to really love him. I don't think a year from now he's going to be somebody that we're talking about as like a future star. I think he's just like a replacement level running back that's either going to get a really solid backup job or like first and second down work in the NFL. So I don't know what you guys think about him, but that's kind of where I'm at.
Dwight, how about you? Where do you have Johnson?
Ditto. No, he's about RB10 for me. I don't think he's anything special. I saw a player comp today of him as to Latavius Murray, which I actually thought was pretty accurate. Okay. I just think he's a hard runner, gets those tough yards you really like. Surprisingly good at pass catching though, for his size, but nothing special as an athlete. Not a lot of juice, so I'm not overly excited. I see some hype, you know, some people saying he's RB3, 4, stuff. No, he's just no, not this day of the week. No,
not for me.
Yeah, we are aligned on this guy, and I honestly to tie it to Devy. The fact that he had a really nice season last year, and of course, you know, Bijan Robinson at Texas too, it makes me feel a little better about the fact that Jaden Blue didn't, you know, show us anything his freshman season. It's like, okay, you know, he's got not one but two guys that are going to get drafted potentially, you know, before the end of Friday night, and in there, you know, you can only have so many, you know, running back touches. And, you know, we saw in the spring game, I'm sure people have heard that Jaden Blue, you know, has looked good already. So it's like, okay, my shares are feeling a little bit better, but yeah, I really like, you know, Roshan, like you guys do, you know, right around 10, you know, and it could depend on landing spot, 'cause he's going to see the field, but you're right. Nothing to get excited about. The next guy is even a faster riser, and that's Tajay Spears at Tulane. And people are pumped about him. Dwight, I'm going to start with you. I just heard this week the Campus to Canton rookie profile that you did on Tajay Spears, and I'll admit that got me a little juiced up for this guy. Let's talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, I really do like him. I think he's got potential to be something in the NFL, but there are a lot of questions. Obviously, this against a small school, he's a small school guy, so level competition was not the greatest. He's got some concerns with knee injuries and obviously size. I mean, he's just a shade under 200 pounds, right around 200 pounds, depending on what you see. But you watch him on tape. I mean, the kid's just electric. I mean, he creates on his own, incredibly fast, shifty. He just makes some plays that just kind of drop your jaw. And you're just like, holy crap. You know, people don't move like that. He's incredibly special as a runner. So it'll just be if someone can give him the draft capital in the right situation. Obviously, if he goes a fourth, fifth round, I think it's a death sentence. But I really am hopeful that somebody will see what we see on tape and give him a shot. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a guy that went to Tulane. So, right. So it makes sense that he kind of flew under the radar as far as a Devy asset. And really from Senior Bowl, where he was the standout player of the week at Senior Bowl. And even before that, I mean, when he lit up USC in their bowl game for 4 touchdowns, 200 plus yards against a Power 5 school, you know, that raised eyebrows. And so the positives, like you said, elite change of direction, excellent burst, just special movement skills. And he almost always makes the first guy miss. He's great at getting skinny through the hole and can vary his speed. He's not a one-speed runner. So some of the negatives I had on him were that he's not very powerful, which makes sense. I think he was like 204 at the combine, something like that. So he's a little bit on the smaller side of the running back spectrum. And I didn't see a lot of great pass protection either. So, but he did have good receiving numbers at Tulane. So it's a little bit of an uphill battle for a guy who's undersized and coming from G5 to make a transition and be a star at the next level. The upside there is to be like Aaron Jones-esque. That's a guy he reminds me of in terms of his play style, being a little smaller, but just electric. And people are really excited about him. For me, he's my RB7. So a little higher than I was on Roschon Johnson, but not as high as I've heard some other people be on him. So obviously, if he lands that second round draft capital, as has been discussed, him potentially getting, then he might rise a little bit from there, but we'll just have to see. He's also got a history of ACL injuries too, so that's a little bit worth noting, a little bit of a medical red flag there. Not that, and not anything current that he's dealing with, but just history of wear and tear on his knees already before he gets into the league.
Yeah, it's definitely a concern. It's worth bringing up. I'm going to add one more to the list of running back risers. When you think back to when we first started, you know, talking about guys in Devy at running back, not a whole lot of people were getting excited about Israel Abanaconda at Pittsburgh, but I feel like this last year really started to pick up steam for him. And he's another guy where he's kind of in that, you know, that third tier. That's a, you know, it's a kind of a glut of guys in there, you know, second tier, third tier, even fourth tier. I mean, there's a lot of depth, in my opinion, at running back. And he's one of those guys where if he gets the right draft capital and landing spot, I think he could be a pleasant surprise, you know, certainly a riser, you know, in Devy since he first came on board. I think he's more widely on Devy rosters than, you know, Roschon Johnson and Tajay Spears, but still somebody who's moved up since he first started. You know, really quickly, you know, Dwight, where do you have a Abanaconda?
He's in the same tier as Roschon, kind of that 8 to 12-ish tier. I probably at the front of it. I do think Izzy offers some things that we can like, but I don't know. I kind of struggle with him. He's definitely got speed, and he's got some pretty good tape. So I don't know. I just don't think he's overly special also. I know that sounds crazy, but I think he's a good back, though. I like him better than Roschon, but not quite as much as I like Spears. So,
all right. Matt, really quick on Izzy. What do you think?
Yeah, he's my RB12, I believe, right now. So I'm a little lower on him than Roschon. He's actually got one of the best athletic profiles in this class in terms of combination of size and speed and everything else that you want athletically. So he's got the tools to do what you want him to do at the next level, but I didn't see him being very elusive, not great in pass protection, needs to work on his patience and his vision, offered basically nothing as a pass catcher. So there's a lot of like glaring holes in his profile as far as what he did on tape. So that you like the athletic profile, but I didn't love what I saw on film. So I'm really curious to see where he gets drafted, but he's my RB12 right now.
All right. Excellent. Okay. Let's do a couple of wide receivers that have moved up. Zay Flowers, Boston College, feels like he has almost solidified himself as a first round pick. Do we feel confident that's where he's going to go, Matt, or do you think he might slip into early day two?
It seems like a lock, like you said. I mean, there's just so much buzz around him right now, and it is smokescreen season. So who really knows, you know, when NFL teams are putting this stuff out, but he seems like he's killed everything in the pre-draft process from, you know, the combine to everything else, interviews. So when I went and watched his tape, I was surprised at how much I liked him, because he's, you know, playing at Boston College, it also reminded me how bad Phil Dracovic is. I was like, this is terrible. He's running open every play and Jerk just never gets him the ball. But just incredible agility, change of direction, fantastic after the catch. Great route runner, separates on all three levels. So really the only knock on him is his ball skills. He struggles with concentration drops and not the most reliable hands, but he's a little small, you know, it's 5'10" in the 180s range. So not tiny, but not really like the prototypical size profile that you're looking for. But there's a lot to like there. He's actually my wide receiver 2 in the class. I really like Zay Flowers.
Ooh, So ahead of Addison, I'm assuming.
I see.
Yes, ahead of Addison.
All right. Nice, nice. I was about to say that I'm higher on him than what I'll say I normally am of guys of that size. I tend to stay away from guys that are, you know, 5'9", you know, the 170s. He did make 182, I believe, at the combine, but mm-hmm. I can't get past the fact that when you watch him, he looks dynamic. And mm-hmm. I just feel like a guy that looked that good at Boston College with all the other issues, if he can get in the right situation, you know, man, could he be a really nice, not only an asset for the team that drafts him, but for your fantasy roster. And I'll admit, I'm starting to buy into it as a Vikings fan. I mean, if they put him next to Justin Jefferson and they've got Hockenson, that could be wheels up for him because he's going to get single coverage a lot. Mm-hmm. And man, that just sounds really intriguing. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. The Dynasty Big Board, which I listened to this morning, we're recording this on Wednesday, had him mocked to go to the Baltimore Ravens. And that has been the kiss of death for wide receivers mm-hmm. lately. So we'll see if that happens. Is that one of those deals where it's not such a good thing for your fantasy prospects, but you know, I would love him as a Viking. Dwight, Zay Flowers, what do you think?
Yeah, I love him. If he makes it, I think he was working out with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes today. So if he can't make it past them, and they're the last pick in the first round. So I think that's great, great route runner. Just very advanced for his, you mentioned the size, but that's 85% of the receivers in this class are in the same size mm-hmm. range as him. So it's, I love Zay. So.
Excellent. All right. The next wide receiver, the last one we're going to talk about is a riser. And man, did he shoot up boards this season. Jalin Hyatt at Tennessee. I don't think it's going to be as unanimous on this one. There's a little more controversy over whether you love Hyatt or you don't. Dwight, what do you think about Jalin Hyatt? Where do you have him on your rankings?
He's crap. Take that, Matt Hicks. Suck it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
And you, Anthony.
No. No, there's things to like about his game. I mean, he does show better route running than you'd think, but he is definitely a speedster. And I mean, he's getting that same first round buzz. I don't think he's a first round guy, but I actually like Tillman more as a more complete receiver. But what Hyatt does, he's very good at. And I could definitely see him carving out a pretty good role in the NFL, second, third round type of guy. I'm just not overly high on that type of player for fantasy. Just too boomer bust, you know, best ball type of guy. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, best ball type of guy. I was going to say something similar. He's my wide receiver 8 right now. And there's actually multiple guys that have lower than him who I think are better players. But he's just projected to get that draft capital. And so, like, that's kind of the only thing keeping him even as high as I have him, really. Like, he ran past SEC defensive backs like they were standing still. So the speed is fantastic. But I think he's kind of a one-trick pony. And if you're familiar with Matt Harmon's work with Reception Perception, I highly recommend it. He's like the guru for wide receivers as far as I'm concerned. And so he charts like every play and success rate versus man and versus zone on each individual route. And it was like the only route that he ran with any level of success was the 9 route. Everything else, like he kind of color codes it. And so the 9 route was green and every other route on the route tree was red. So I just really don't see any kind of refined technique at all or lateral agility. I really just see him running past people in a straight line. He played in kind of a goofy offense where they did all these funky spreads and stacks that just led him like running wide open down the field a lot. So I don't mean to crap all over him, but he's someone that I think can help an NFL team, but I don't ever see him being fantasy relevant unless he develops significantly as a route runner from where he's at right now. Physicality, contested catch, like he doesn't offer anything else besides just straight line speed in my mind.
Okay. Yeah. You're lower on him than even me. And I'm at the point where I don't think I'll have any shares of him because I think other people, someone in my league is going to like him mm-hmm. more than I do. And I'll continuously bypass him for somebody else, you know, probably even at another position. But yeah, I've got him down closer to 10 as well. So yeah, just, you know, there's something about it. You said it all, so I'm not going to get into it, but I've heard that from other analysts that I really, really trust as well. They're concerned about some of the finer points of playing wide receiver, and he doesn't have that because of the way Tennessee, you know, ran their offense and put him in position to just, you know, use his speed. Mm-hmm. The last riser, and I think we could talk about a lot of tight ends, but we're just going to focus on maybe the number one guy. Dalton Kincaid has been really moving up more than any other guy, you know, coming out of Utah. Matt, you know, some people have him as tight end one. Where is he on your list? Because this is certainly not somebody that, from a Debbie perspective, people were talking about a couple of years ago, maybe a little bit this last season, but.
Yeah, I've actually got him as my tight end one as well. And I think that's just from a fantasy perspective. Okay. Like if I'm an NFL team drafting, I may lean towards Mayer, who's a more complete player, better blocker, you know, well-rounded, does everything that you want a tight end to do. But from a fantasy perspective, pass catching upside, route running, contested catch, like yards after the catch, all the things that you really want to see out of a high-end fantasy tight end, Dalton Kincaid does all of that really well. So he was kind of buried behind Brant Queithy on the depth chart, who's like 25 years old and still playing college somehow. And then Queithy got hurt a couple games into the season, and Kincaid took over as their starting tight end. Then he absolutely went off against USC and just put a lot of good traits on film. So, I mean, it makes sense that he wasn't really on Davy radars because he didn't do anything hardly at all until like halfway through this last collegiate season that he had. But man, he looked exciting to watch. And I think just the receiving upside from a fantasy perspective is why I have him at my tight end one over Mayer, who might be a more overall better tight end.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think Mayer's a safer fantasy pick. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to be good, but he might not have that high ceiling that Kincaid could mm-hmm. could get if he falls in the right system where he can be, you know, one of the top targeted, you know, players after a year or two.
Yeah. The other aspect of it too, sorry, is Kincaid's expected to be a first round pick. So we'll see if that actually happens. But like, it's not like we're talking about some like fourth, fifth round guy that we think is better than Mayer. Like they're both expected to get the draft capital that should lead to immediate opportunity. So anyway.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Dwight, where do you have Kincaid?
Yeah, he's right up there in that top tier for me, too. He's obviously going to be 24 this year, so he's a little bit older also. He's been bouncing around since 2018, mm-hmm. but just finally got a really good chance this year. And he looks like a wide receiver when he's out there playing, running routes and catching balls. And he's pretty electric to watch. Not quite as athletic specimen-y as like a guy like Evan Engram. Definitely more toward the spectrum of a complete tight end, but he's got some work to do as far as, you know, being a blocker and stuff. Definitely more of an inline guy. So, yep, I like Kincaid.
All right, let's get to the fallers. We're going to go back to running back because there are a few to talk about. I think, you know, we'll do the couple of big ones. You know, thinking back to when we were first looking at that class, mm-hmm. Zach Evans and Tank Bigsby were two of the top, you know, running backs up mm-hmm. right up there, you know, with Jahmyr Gibbs, right up there with Bijan Robinson. Dwight, where are you on Bigsby and Zach Evans? We'll start with those two guys before we get to the last two.
Yeah, I still like Bigsby quite a bit, but I'm tempered my expectations for what I saw as like a pass catcher and things in college. I really liked him. I thought he was a better pass catcher than he was given credit for. And he definitely is a powerful guy with a ring name like Tank. But I really wanted to see a little bit more. So it's caused me to kind of temper my expectations a little bit. I have him in like the 7-8 range. You know, I'm hoping he gets the draft capital, but I don't see him going before day three, which just sucks because I just loved him. I absolutely loved him. Same with Evans though. Evans is, it was always the maturity, the flip flopping, the weird little, you know, quirky things that he did about not wanting to get a full load, transferring, doing all these weird. He just always seemed like there was more in his head than football, you know. But as far as a talent, he still, when he's on the field, he's shown to be a pretty good runner. I definitely think he's left a little bit to be desired as well. So both those guys, I felt like at one point were locked to be like early draft picks. Now I'd be surprised to see him go before day three. If they do, then maybe some team is banking on that talent that we saw several years ago. But both these guys were like first round picks in Debbie drafts when they were freshmen. So it's definitely weird to be talking to them about as day three picks right now. So,
Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I have very different opinions on these two guys. So Zach Evans is one that I see as a faller for me. When I went and actually studied the tape, I was kind of like, wow, how did we like never question that this guy was like a top three running back in this class? Like, it's just been assumed and unspoken and unquestioned for years now. And I'm like digging it. I guess there was just enough production and just enough highlights to like keep him up there with his five-star pedigree. But I dug in and I'm like, I don't like his vision. I don't really like his elusiveness. He had a lot of drops. So I have questions about his pass catching upside. He was listed at, you know, what, almost 220 pounds in college. And then he weighed in at 202, which is like a massive difference. So like he's even smaller than Tajay Spears. So there's a lot of questions about Zach Evans. If you're small and you're not catching passes well, it's just there's a lot there that I don't love. So he's fallen all the way down to my RB9, just barely above Roschon Johnson. And Tank Bigsby on the other end of the spectrum, I rewatched his tape after everybody else had kind of jumped off the train, and I was like, I love him. Like, why did everybody hop off the train? Because I see a guy that has – really good vision and great cutting ability and excellent power and contact balance, really reliable hands in the limited pass catching work that he saw. And so like, I don't see a lot of holes there. I have him all the way up at RB4 pre-draft. So like, obviously all this can get adjusted. If Dwight is right and Tank Bigsby is a day three pick, then he's going to fall. He's not going to be my RB4, but pre-draft based on film grade, he's my RB4. And I think that he played on a really bad Auburn team with terrible offensive line. And there's reasons maybe why his production wasn't what everybody wanted it to be. But when I watched the tape, I still came away really impressed. So I've got Tank Bigsby up pretty high.
Yeah. I'm the same way on Bigsby. You know, what you said about Evans, actually, I've heard other people say too, so that is consistent as well, but back to Bigsby, I'm still high on him. And even if he goes day three, if it's the fourth round and it's in a situation where I can step back and objectively say, okay, he has a chance to be the main guy here. You know, if it's a situation like Damian Pierce last season, it's like, hey, then kudos to them for getting a guy later that's going to be a really good running back. And, you know, the NFL in general, they don't value running backs like they used to. You know, I don't think we're going to see as many guys go, you know, like in the second round than what we think they should based on talent. And so, you know, falling another round isn't as big of a deal. If he gets to round five, then I'm going to be a little more concerned, like, okay, what's going on here? So, and it'll be relative to where the other guys go. Right. I mean, if he's the fifth running back off the board, okay, that's pretty good. If he's the 10th running back off the board, now I'm going to start to wonder, great, you know, point, what's going on. A couple more guys at running back because it's such a deep class, but you know, Sean Tucker at Syracuse, Eric Gray, Matt, we'll start with you this time. Where do you have those two guys?
I love Sean Tucker and I'm terrified about what the draft is going to bring for him because I, you know, just this whole pre-draft process, it's been nothing but like negative. Lance Zierlein and Brugler and like all the guys that are like supposedly super well connected in the NFL don't have him graded highly at all. You know, he wasn't able to do the combine or the pro day. I hear that he is going to do a pro day on Monday though, because he's finally got medical clearance. So there's this mysterious medical thing. Nobody really knows what was going on there. So I'm excited that he's finally going to get to do a pro day. He's explosive as an athlete. He's got a great receiving production profile in college. And there's just a lot to like about his potential to be a three down back at the next level. Some questions about his vision, some questions about his pass protection, but he's somebody that I've been high on. I was high on him as a Devy asset. I studied his tape for part of the rookie process and still like loved what I saw. And then I like heard the Dynasty Nerds guys like bury him. So I went back and rewatched the tape again because I was like, am I crazy? And I still loved it. So, you know, I don't know, but I like what I see and I'm praying for good draft capital at this point. But that's kind of where I'm at on Sean Tucker.
Dwight, what do you think about either Tucker or Eric Gray?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with Tucker. I really like him. He's in my 5-6 range. Just, you know, obviously beating the dead horse, but it's going to depend on the draft capital. What he does at his pro day Monday is going to mean a lot, but I don't estimate that he will do badly as long as he's prepared. He's a pretty athletic dude. I think he's got good agility, good speed, good burst. So I don't estimate that he will be bad. Eric Gray is another name who just every once in a while you'll pop on Twitter and see an analyst. It's like, well, remember how good Eric Gray is. He should be RB, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, he had his chance, man. He's just, no.
He's going to be 24 years old as a rookie. At the running back position where like 26 is like the age cliff, right?
So yeah, not good, Bob.
He's probably a day three pick. So by the time he earns his win, he's retired.
Yeah, I just don't see it anymore.
Nothing special. Not really in on Eric Gray at all. So, but he's my RB 16, I think.
Yeah, just as recent as a couple of years ago, he was a very early draft pick in Devy draft. So it's definitely been a precipitous fall for him. So,
yep, I agree. Hopefully Tucker can get that draft capital and get a good spot. All right, at wide receiver, 5-star prospect Rakeem Jarrett, Maryland, just doesn't seem to be getting the buzz. You know, he ran well at the combine, but man, do you guys think he's just a guy, or is there any hope for optimism with Rakeem Jarrett?
I feel like there was plenty of opportunity for him to step up at Maryland and he just never did. His college production profile is like really bad. I don't see any elite traits on tape. I haven't heard any draft buzz. So at this point I've got him down at wide receiver 20. I really don't have any expectations for him at this point of being a dynasty asset.
Ditto.
Yep. All right. I think I'm giving up on Rakeem Jarrett. I agree. All right. And the number one faller in the history of falling Devy prospects, Kayshon Boutte, LSU. Man, what a talk about a cliff. This guy just went diving off it and all in, carrying about a 3,000-pound weight to help him get there faster. It's been ugly. I mean, is there a chance that he gets all the way to the seventh round or even goes undrafted? I mean, he has looked so bad.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll get that far, but I don't know. There's always hope, you know, for a guy who showed when he was on the field, the very few times he was on the field, there were times that he looked just amazing, you know, and he's got that LSU lineage of wide receivers that have been amazing lately, but he just seems to have gone off the deep end, you know, off the field stuff, on the field stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think he was almost a consensus wide receiver one, I want to say even a year ago. He was, and it's just been.
Yeah. Beginning of 2021, he was coming off that great freshman season, especially the last half, and people were all excited, and he was absolutely dominating, and then he got hurt. And ever since then, it's been, down she goes. There are people saying he might have been an Achilles. Of course, we don't know for sure, I think, what the injury was, but that's I think the only reason for optimism is if the injury was significant enough where it just takes longer to come back, maybe that's why he still can't show people what he can do athletically.
I heard like multiple ankle surgeries. I think like, and there were questions this year about effort. Was he giving his best effort? The nonverbals out there were like bad. Like he never bought in with Chip Kelly. He didn't like his quarterback, Jaden Daniels. So he's out there and he's like throwing up his arms and he's clapping at his teammate's face. And he's just like showing some pretty rough intangibles. And then he like said he was coming back to LSU. And all of a sudden right before their bowl game, he declares for the draft, and there's all kinds of speculation. I don't want to kind of repeat unconfirmed rumors on here, but that it was like off the field stuff, and that if he didn't declare, that he was going to get kicked off the team. And he tanked the combine. He had like a 29-inch vertical, which, you know, people are like, I did better than that in high school. and it's actually true. first percentile explosion grade at the combine, which you're like, I don't see that on tape. I don't get that. So did he just not prepare? He tanked his interviews. There's a lot of question marks about this dude. And when you talk about the upside and the positives, you really have to go all the way back to like early 2021. So it's a big gamble to take him in rookie drafts. And I'm probably not going to have any shares unless he falls like in the third round or fourth round of rookie drafts and there's like not a lot of risk involved and it's just upside, then sure. But I don't think I'm going to be taking that dart in the second round.
Yeah, I'm in the same place as you. I don't trust it. What do you think, Dwight, on Boutte really quick?
Yeah, same thing. No, nothing more to add, man.
All right. The quick book thing, I just want to finish up with some sleepers. Dwight, your sleeper is CJ Stroud? I mean, the
yeah, I think he's going to go first overall, man. Everybody says he's going to go second, but I think he's going to go first. He's a riser.
According to Vegas, he's not going first because, wow, did those odds go in the favor of Bryce Young? He's like negative 900 or something like that.
I put $100 on him, and I'll win like 600 because I did it a long time ago if he goes first. I'm hoping he goes first. I don't know. I'm still trying to, you know, you guys know I do the daily draft, of course. I've talked about like 70 different prospects now, and I'm still kind of formulating my own picks, my own rankings that are fully developed, like my final rankings for last week, before next week. I mean, I still like a couple of the lower guys. I like a lot. I like Andrea Yoshivis, however you say his name, from Princeton. I really love his tape. I love his, you know, he went to Princeton. He's smart as hell.
How did you find tape?
Oh, it was very tricky. It was very ugly. I put a couple cut-ups on the nerds room, on the film room, and it's interesting. But what you see is just a dominant guy with really good athletic traits. And he's a white dude with cornrows. You know, you got to like that.
nice.
he's a guy I like. Everybody knows I love the hell out of Kendre Miller, but I don't know if he's really can really fit in this category. And I still love Jake Haener to kick around the league for a while as a backup. So the three guys I really like.
Excellent. Matt, who's your sleeper rookie?
Tyler Scott out of Cincinnati. He is getting second round buzz in the draft. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. But when I went into watching his tape, my preconceived notion of him was that he was just a speed guy. He was just going to, you know, just a deep threat, kind of like your G5 Jalen Hyatt, so to speak. So I didn't have high expectations. And when I started watching, I was amazed at like the defensive manipulation and his fluid hips. And he would like snap out of his breaks and create like 10 yards of separation on guys. And I was just like, it felt like I was watching like G5 Jameson Williams. Honestly, I was really surprised and impressed by his route running at all three levels. He is 177 pounds, so he's on the smaller side of things, and obviously coming from a G5 program. So, I mean, this is a guy that you're probably not going to have to take until the third round of your rookie draft, but he's a dart that I love to throw in that round three just because I did come away so impressed with his route running that I thought, you know, he's got the athleticism, the explosiveness, the speed, the yards after catch, but he's not just a deep threat. And so I was like, man, this guy impressed me.
I like it. I like it. I've got a couple tight ends. My number one guy is Sam Laporta at Iowa. I just think this guy is the full package for a tight end, and he's well-rounded, but he's a physical guy. I mean, he breaks a ton of tackles, and I think, you know, instead of taking a chance on the bigger name tight ends at the top of your rookie drafts, you're going to be able to snare this guy in the third round. And I think you're going to really like who you get in Sam Laporta. The other one, because of his athleticism, is Zach Kuntz coming out of Old Dominion. And, you know, talk about a the athletic upside. I love that in a tight end. You know, not to the level of a Dalton Kincaid, but it's the same strategy, right? That I'm gonna draft a guy that's got the athleticism to maybe stand out in a really talented and deep tight end class. So I'm going with Laporta and Zach Kuntz as my sleepers. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mike? Real quick PSA for anybody out there who's watching your draft. If you see Zach Kuntz, it's K-U-N-T-Z and it's pronounced Kuntz. Okay. Don't be yelling any other thing around your house. Okay. Kuntz, K-U-N-T-Z.
Like a double O, Kuntz.
Exactly.
Well so played.
Make sure you don't screw up that one. All right.
Well, depending on your party, you might want to screw it up. Because, whatever. You know, just know, like I tell my teenage son when he's using, you know, colorful language, I'm not going to tell you can't swear because I get it. I swear. Everybody does, mostly.
I'm not going to be doing it in my worship meeting. How about that?
Right, right. Like, know your audience. Know your audience. Thank you, exactly. Matt. You know, when you're sitting in the back of that, you know, worship meeting, you're following the draft on your phone, Matt.
It's cool.
Somebody gets drafted. Kayshawn Booty don't
gets
like,
drafted.
Don't yell out, ah, son of a. You know, you gotta
took Booty.
That's right.
Anyways.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of the Devy Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Network. We will not be back next week because we're taking a week off for the NFL draft, but be sure to tune in because there will be other shows. Of course, the Dynasty Big Board will be back to talk about the draft in all of its glory. And for an instant reaction to the NFL draft, Matt will be on potentially with others coming out on Friday morning instead of us. So enjoy the draft. Enjoy the weekend. Thank you again for listening. Have a wonderful day and weekend.